Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Well, the Twins win yesterday 2-0 over the Tigers. They play again today. It looks like the forecast may hold out for them, hoping it will. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. right here on WCCO Radio. We'll keep following that forecast and update you on that. Joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Mike Max. We're also standing by for utility infielder Nick Gordon, who will be joining us shortly. But Maxie, they looked pretty good yesterday.
They look good, and they're doing it without hitting any home runs, Benita. And nobody would have thought that, you know, going into this year. If you said this is going to be the record, you say, boy, they must really be hitting home runs. They're not hitting home runs. They're just winning games. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. It's not because of the Twins. It's because I think baseball and the way they've changed the ball and everything else is not flying right now. But that being said, you saw Sonny Gray last night, and he looked like a guy that really wants to be a number one or two pitcher on this staff, the way he went about his business. 10 strikeouts and 7 innings. Is a really good outing. I don't care if you're playing the Detroit Tigers are not a good team, but still, he owned them last night, and that was a really good sign for the Twins. And then you get just enough hits to do something, and they played Gio Urshela on that shift. And he hit a single to left field. Kepler was able to score from first base, which you don't see very often because of the way the ball was hitting the ground that they had to cover, and Urshela's been on fire as well lately. So he had 3 hits last night. So they're doing lots of good things right now, aside from hitting home runs, and I think that's just a really good sign going into the summer.
It certainly is. And joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Nick Gordon. Good morning, Nick. You are joining Mike Max and I for the Twins First Pitch segment. Talk about this stretch you guys have going. You're looking pretty good out there.
Appreciate it. We're definitely playing some good baseball. We just want to come out and, you know, work hard every single day, you know, give everything that we have, and, you know, the results will be there. You know, I think the team chemistry and things like that are off the charts.
Nick, I talked to you about this last week. You got a rare opportunity to pitch this year. You've done everything for this team now. They play in everywhere, but you got to pitch. And for people that aren't familiar, your dad was a pretty good pitcher in the big leagues. And I asked you last week what your dad told you about your pitching performance. Share that with our audience. What did he tell you after you pitched your first inning of big league baseball?
No, he told me it was a good job. You know, he definitely told me he wanted to see the curveball. But I couldn't show him everything. I kind of keep that in the back, in the pocket. So, but no, he definitely, you know, he was excited about it. With that being his position and all, you know, he definitely, it was a blessing for him to see me there.
Nick, I'm fascinated by your love of music and that you enjoy making music. In fact, I understand Miguel Sano actually uses one of your songs as his walk-up song. Can you tell us a little bit about what motivates you with music and why this is such a passion for you?
I've just kind of always loved it. You know, as a young child, I would say, you know, just life every day kind of motivates it. Just things that I go through, you know, things that I experience, that I see, you know, it's just kind of a way for me to talk about it, you know, kind of a way for me to, you know, just put things that I see into words, and it's art, you know, it's kind of like the game of baseball. So it's, you know, it's definitely it's something that I enjoy doing.
Nick, don't you think everybody that plays Major League Baseball, these major league sports, needs something like that? Because the game can just eat you up and tear you apart if you only inject yourself into it. Doesn't everybody need something that has nothing to do with the game that they just played that night?
I mean, I feel like, you know, guys have their own things. I wouldn't necessarily say you need it, you know, because some guys can, you know, that they can think about the game 24/7, you know, and I wouldn't say I'm not a guy that's that way as well. I would say, you know, know, music has just always been a part of my life. So it's just, you know, it's always been there. But I would say, guys, you know, you can do whatever you put your mind to. So if, you know, baseball is the only thing that someone's putting their mind to, they're going to get it done. You know, if there's other things that, you know, their mind, you know, is on, then they can get that done as well. I just think, you know, it depends on the person. It depends on, you know, who it is.
It is coming up on 8:42. This is the Twins' first pitch segment. We're talking with utility player Nick Gordon. What is your mindset like, Nick? There are some games you play in, some you don't. You're in different positions. How do you prepare for that kind of thing? It's not a given that you're going to play every game. What is your mindset like going into a series?
Always just ready to give 110. You know, making sure I get my work in everywhere, being athletic, you know, trusting myself and, you know, having fun. Anything can be taken away from you, you know, at any single moment of the day. So for me, it's all, you know, taking it all in, just being so, you know, thankful and I'm so blessed with the opportunity, you know, that I have. And I think just taking the most of it, just, you know, taking all the positives out of it.
You know, Nick, along those lines, a follow-up to what Vanita's asked about, that, you know, you went and played center field last year when you hadn't played center field before. Now you do have an advantage. You can run. And if you can run, you can do some things. Uh-huh. But was that – you look very comfortable in that transition. Did it feel natural and easy to you? Because not everybody can do that.
Definitely not easy. I wouldn't say any position on the field is easy. And it wasn't natural. But, you know, I got guys like Buck, you know, who, man, one of the best at the position, and learning from him, you know, there's things that, you know, he sees and things that he helps me with. And, man, I'm thankful for, you know, those experiences as well, because without that, it'd probably be a lot tougher for me.
Love your perspective and your attitude, Nick. Got to ask you just a little behind the scenes. What is the locker room like after a win? You've got the vuvuzelas going. You've got the gongs. Can you give us a little insight on what that's like being a player in that locker room after a win?
Oh, it's fun. Makes you want to win. You know, it's fun to win. And that's definitely fun. You know, we got you know, our guys, we meet up and, you know, we talk about the game and things like that. And, you know, everybody enjoying the moment. Everybody's enjoying, you know, wins are hard to come by. So I think we do a pretty good job of, you know, staying in the moment of, you know, embracing those wins and, you know, definitely trying to play hard to get another one every single day.
That's great, Nick. Thank you so much for joining us for the Twins' first pitch segment. Love to have you back on again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good luck. Hey, Maxie, stick around if you can just a bit on this 2-year anniversary of George Floyd's murder. I'll tell you, watching your coverage after it happened, I didn't know you then, you know, but it was just, we were mesmerized. You were shining like no other reporter I'd ever seen covering everything. And I know you're going to be talking about that tonight at 7:00 on your show. But is there anything you want to share with us on this 2-year anniversary?
You know, there's every time that something like this comes up, people start to ask me about it again. And then you start to reflect and think about how 4 days and all that happened. I was out there 9 days because different things happened, you know, after. But those first four were, they changed my life in the best possible way. I mean, as awful as it was, horrific as it was for our city to go through that in our state, I saw things up close that I never would have seen, and I got a perspective from how people felt that I never would have paid attention to before, or listened to until they were like that. But to see and to have and to see our police force step up, and there were no altercations or shootings, you know, police force to protesters, and I mean they were on the line all the time. I'm probably one of the few people. I was incredibly proud of both sides, the protesters for what they did, and the law enforcement for the way they handled it, and to see that. Some of the growth that comes from there, we got a long way to go and lots of stuff. But while it turned out to be a public thing for me, it was a much more a private thing where it changed my life, because I just have, I embrace the city of Minneapolis. I've got this, you know, love-hate thing with it, but I love what Minneapolis stands for, and I love the diversity of Minneapolis, and that we all live in this thing and we all have opinions in this thing, and I've really learned to embrace that and to appreciate that And I never would have had I not been out there on the front lines for a few days with the people. And all those people, those protesters, protected me out there, too. So people always ask me, did you feel safe out there? I can't. You know, most of those people were just good people that were protesting a cause. And a lot of them I knew personally. And so this feeling of comfort that I had out there reporting because of the people that I felt were protecting me was, you know, something that I'd just be forever indebted to.
Sure. You did an outstanding job. We'll look for more of your thoughts tonight at 7 o'clock after our special George Floyd 2 years later from 6 to 7. Thanks, Maxie.
Yep, thanks, Vanita.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.